use of steroids in septic shock is actually quite interesting.
There seems to be just a whole lot of clinical variation over the last few decades.
Does the use of steroids impact mortality?
The outcome of mortality is really a hard outcome to reach.
There's not a lot of silver bullets in critical care.
I can only imagine the sights and sounds that will be coming into your ED. Greetings, everyone, and welcome back to Critical Care Perspectives in Emergency Medicine. I'm Mike Winters from the University of Maryland School of Medicine in Baltimore. So happy to be joined by my co-host here, Dr. Peter W., Dr. Rob Rodriguez, and Dr. John Greenwood. Gentlemen, how are you this podcast?
Good evening, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing well, but I know it is February in New Orleans, and that can only mean one thing.
It's Mardi Gras time. There's nothing but a party here, so it's pretty crazy, and for the next 5 days, it's going to be off the chain in New Orleans, so we'll be busy in the ED.
I can only imagine the sights and sounds that will be coming into your ED over the course of the next few days. Well, Rob, how are things out west?
Doing well. Spring has arrived in California early, so we're enjoying the early spring weather. It's been great.
Well, John, I know spring hasn't arrived here on the East Coast since you're just a few miles north of Baltimore. It's still not too fun over here, but how are you doing otherwise?
Doing well. Well, we're having our own little Mardi Gras up in the Philadelphia area. Philadelphia Eagles. It was quite a win. We were all really excited. Just had 4 million people travel into the city of Philadelphia today for the Eagles Super Bowl parade, and had quite some logistic challenges in the city as well as some medical challenges. But overall, it went well. Everyone, I think, had a good time.
Congrats.
Well, good to hear. Oh,
thank you.
Well, we're excited for this podcast because we're going to talk about something that's just hot off the press. It's an article that was just published in the New England Journal of Medicine. And quite honestly, it touches on a topic that we encounter every day, and that is the patient with sepsis coming into our emergency department, specifically septic shock, and specifically the use of glucocorticoid therapy for those in septic shock. Now, John, before we get to the study itself, this is something that we've been taught, we've practiced, and there seems to be just a whole lot of clinical variation over the last few decades with respect to steroids for septic shock. Give us a little bit more of the background right before we head into this particular potentially landmark study.
Yeah, absolutely. So use of steroids in septic shock is actually quite interesting, and they've been used for most patients with refractory shock over the past 40 years. But there's a lot of uncertainty around their safety and efficacy. Should they be used for everybody or for just patients with adrenal insufficiency? This all started probably in the 80s, where there were a couple randomized controlled trials demonstrating harm with high dose methylprednisolone. And then that was followed up by a couple of studies looking at lower dose hydrocortisone, thinking that maybe a replacement therapy might be helpful, which had some conflicting results on overall mortality with patients who had septic shock. Followed that up with another trial that was just published last year in JAMA, the Hypris trial, looking at the administration of hydrocortisone to prevent the progression of sepsis to septic shock. And in that trial, there was no benefit as well. So
current clinical practice guidelines recommend the use of hydrocortisone in patients with septic shock if adequate fluid resuscitation and vasopressor therapy have not restored hemodynamic stability.
This is in general a weak recommendation based on a fairly low quality of evidence overall. And to be honest, a lot of variation in how people use steroids in septic shock today.
So that's a great background. So John, that brings us to our current study, the one just published, as I said, in New England Journal of Medicine. Lead author is Dr. Venkatesh, and it is entitled Adjunctive Glucocorticoid Therapy in Patients with Septic Shock. And overall, these investigators sought to test the hypothesis that hydrocortisone results in lower mortality than placebo among patients with septic shock. So what was this particular study? It was an investigator-initiated, international, pragmatic, double-blind, parallel group, randomized controlled trial that was performed in 69 med-surg ICUs in Australia, the UK, New Zealand, Saudi Arabia, as well as Denmark. And who did they include? These were adult patients, so over the age of 18 years. They were vented, so that's an important patient characteristic. All were undergoing mechanical ventilation. All had a documented or strong suspicion of infection with at least two or more SIRS criteria, who had been treated with vasopressors or inotropic agents for at least 4 hours. Who they didn't include were those patients who had received treatment with systemic steroids for some indication other than septic shock. Importantly, they also did not include patients who had received etomidate for RSI during their intubation. They didn't include those that were considered likely to die from a pre-existing disease within 90 days, or those who they had failed to enroll, even though they had met all inclusion criteria but hadn't done so for 24 hours. Overall, what they did is they randomized their patients to an IV infusion of hydrocortisone at a dose of 200 milligrams per day. So this was a continuous infusion. This wasn't every 6 hours or so. Or they were randomized to placebo. They administered that over a period of about 24 hours for a maximum of either 7 days or until the patient was discharged from the ICU or died. Now, importantly, as the study design, as I just mentioned, patients, the treating physicians, the trial personnel were unaware of which group these patients were randomized to. Overall, their primary study outcome, 90-day mortality. Secondary outcomes were those that we would come to expect of most of these type of studies. 28-day mortality, time to resolution of shock, the recurrence of shock, how long they stayed in the ICU, how long was their hospital length of stay, and then also with corticosteroids, what was the incidence of new bacteremia or fungemia between days 2 to 14, and did it affect or was there any influence on secondary outcome of a receipt of a blood transfusion? So let's get to the results. Overall, they enrolled 3,800 patients. Ultimately, due to exclusion and removal, they included a little over 3,650 patients in the study, fairly equally divided to hydrocortisone or placebo. Patient characteristics were similar. And the take-home message in terms of the primary outcome was 90-day mortality was no different. 27.9% in the hydrocortisone group versus 28.8% in the placebo. And when they looked at some of their subgroups that they had defined a priori, there was no difference in 90-day mortality based on whether it was a medical or surgical patient, the dose of catecholamine infusion, the primary site of sepsis, whether it was pulmonary, abdominal, genitourinary, gender, the Apache 2 score, or even the duration of shock. So what were the changes in the secondary outcomes? No difference in 28-day mortality. However, in the hydrocortisone group, there was a shorter time to resolution of shock. Also, the time to ICU discharge was a bit shorter, along with a shorter duration of the initial episode of mechanical ventilation, all in the hydrocortisone group. Very few adverse events in this particular study, just 33 reported throughout all of those patients, 1.1% in the hydrocortisone group, and 0.3% in the placebo. Now, certainly there's a few limitations of this particular study. They did not really go through and determine whether antibiotics were appropriate for the septic population. They didn't collect data on all the possible secondary infections, so they focused on new bacteremia and fungemia. And they only really recorded adverse events as judged by the treating clinician to be related to the corticosteroid or the placebo regimen. But overall, the take-home message was there was no change in 90-day mortality in patients with septic shock undergoing mechanical ventilation who received a continuous infusion of hydrocortisone. So this is a pretty big study, guys. Over 3,650 patients ultimately that they're in their end data set, really showing no change in 90-day mortality, no change in 28-day mortality across all of their subgroups. So let me turn to you, Peter, for your thoughts on how do you incorporate this pretty big study that really didn't affect outcome? Where would you put this with respect to how you currently manage septic shock with corticosteroids?
Right. So, Mike, I think this is a phenomenal study. I think the design is incredibly strong. I think it had great power. And so it's a game changer for me and my practice for sepsis. You know, traditionally, if you required moderate to large amounts of vasopressor after adequate fluid resuscitation, I was reaching for a steroid. My thoughts were that truly there was a relative adrenal insufficiency. In other words, my thought was your adrenals were squeezing out every last bit of catechol that it could possibly squeeze out there. And along with those catechols were stress endogenous steroids. And so I looked at the 200 milligrams per day as simply maintenance for a relative adrenal insufficiency. And so to see this study put into place and have the results that it has, it means that I will no longer use that in my patient population as a general approach for those patients who are vasopressor dependent from moderate and high doses of vasopressor. I'd be interested to know what you guys think about the study.
John, what are your thoughts?
Peter, I think that's a good takeaway. And I think a lot of us, or at least myself looking at this study, this was a very heterogeneous group. It used the trial drug very well. It was a very well done trial. And does the use of steroids impact mortality? Well, it doesn't appear to do so in isolation. But whenever I see any of these trials, and we've seen this in a lot of critical care trials, is that does the use of a single agent impact mortality? And does that mean that it should impact whether or not we use it in a very heterogeneous group? So like a silver bullet. And there's not a lot of silver bullets in critical care. And I think what we've seen over time is that with a lot of critical care interventions, it's a little bit of a lot of things that tend to impact mortality. But what we did see in this trial in terms of the secondary outcomes, and I understand that they're secondary outcomes, they're not, you know, the primary outcome of interest, but there's some process measures that are still important. So certainly one would think that length of ICU stay would be important in terms of patients getting better more quickly. Time to resolution of shock, one would think that that would be something that's a positive in terms of patient care. And so I think that some of the secondary outcomes do provide some questions as to how we can cone in or where the signal of benefit is for which patients who are really, really sick in the ICU. So what does that mean for me? What's my takeaway? Well, sure, maybe not in all comers who are on vasopressors or multiple vasopressors am I using hydrocortisone so liberally, but I still think there's a lot of questions in terms of who the right patients are that might benefit, and in some way, maybe not in terms of mortality, but in some way from the use of hydrocortisone. And I'll be interested to see, because I certainly don't think we're done. I don't think this is the end-all be-all of steroids in septic shock. So I'll be interested to see what turns up in the next 5 to 10 years.
Both of you bring up really excellent points. And I think one other thing to point out, and most of the steroid studies that were early on referencing before this with Corticus and the NANE trials, whenever you study steroids for sepsis, we typically exclude those patients who are receiving them for chronic comorbidities. So say the lupus patient or the sarcoid patient who is receiving corticosteroids, or the patient with severe COPD who's on 5 or 10 milligrams of, say, prednisone or the equivalent each day, those patients really aren't enrolled or randomized in a lot of the studies that we've made reference to. And I think in those patient populations, most of us would recall from really early on in our training is that when they're challenged with an infection, providing stress dose steroids, I'd probably continue or will continue to provide it to those folks. I think outside of that and thinking about this patient population, certainly a vented patient population, but getting fluids and on vasopressors, you know, I typically would reach or do reach for corticosteroids when the initial vasopressor I've titrating up and I'm starting to think about adding a second vasopressor, whether that's epinephrine or vasopressin. That's typically when I start to consider a dose of corticosteroids. But, you know, I'll be honest, this particular study now gives me reason to pause about that routine practice habit with respect to administering steroids.
Well, Mike, I think this is about as sound a methodologic study that I've seen in a while. Got a great sample size, very stringent and reasonable inclusion and exclusion criteria. I guess the one concern I have is that their outcome of 90-day mortality is a very, very hard outcome. As we've seen with a number of other interventions and pretty much any intervention in sepsis, the outcome of mortality is really a hard outcome to reach. So I'm not ready to throw away hydrocortisone at this point. I actually am still continuing to include it in my armamentarium. And in fact, I am encouraged by some of the secondary outcomes that they found in this study, including the reversal of shock in a shorter duration, the shorter times of mechanical ventilation, and time to ICU discharge being shorter in the hydrocortisone group. So again, I think that this is a great study, certainly the most robust study of this topic that I've seen in a while. I think that I am continuing to use hydrocortisone in my patients with refractory shock, and I think that I would recommend continuing using it in that regard. The finding about changes in blood transfusion are a bit confusing. I'm not sure why they even looked at that outcome, but that's an interesting secondary outcome that they found. I'm not sure that there's a plausible pathophysiologic mechanism for that, but it is interesting nonetheless.
So, John, I find it really curious that we have all these secondary outcome changes that really look as if the hydrocortisone has a benefit, and yet there's no real change in 28-day mortality. I just find that a bit confusing. Can you reconcile that at all?
I don't know if I can reconcile it, but I agree. I think it is interesting. And I think the study was designed with a statistical power to detect significance for one thing, which was effect on mortality. So as with all secondary outcomes, this trial was not designed to look at those things specifically. So the probability out of random chance that you would see some difference, I guess, in a few of these you would expect to come up. However, the fact that there were multiple of these that are all clinically significant does say to me there is some signal of benefit here. And while steroids themselves didn't affect overall mortality in their trial, I think there is probably some benefit in some way of the administration of steroids. I don't know that necessarily there was anything unintentional that was done or anything that why these patients would be doing better clinically, but there were no change in mortality. But it is a curious finding, but I certainly can't explain it.
All right. So the million-dollar question is, all three of us work tomorrow. Patient with septic shock comes in. Fits this particular patient characteristic population. We've intubated them. They're on norepinephrine. We've given them at least 30 mLs per kilogram of crystalloid fluid resuscitation. John, you still going to reach for steroids or no?
Well, I think so. For what it's worth, as with all clinical trials, that if it is in fact truth, it needs to be replicated. And there is some sound physiologic basis for the administration of steroids. So I will still use steroids for now.
And Peter?
You know, and I would say that with the strongest evidence that we have now showing no benefit, I'm not necessarily going to add this to the mix.
I think looking at this study and its strengths in terms of the number of ICUs and the number of patients, I would tend to agree with you, Peter. Yeah, it's not something that, am I going to completely eliminate? No, there will be select patients that I will administer it to as the ones I mentioned earlier. But across the board, I'm going to think hard as to whether I'm given corticosteroids. And it will be interesting to see if the Surviving Sepsis campaign comes out with something in the interim and adjusts or doesn't adjust its recommendation on steroids based on this adrenal trial. Well, thanks guys for a great discussion. Really, really helpful and very timely given that this just came out within the past few weeks in the New England Journal of Medicine. I'm sure there'll be a lot of questions for many of our listeners out there. So please write us, shoot us an email through the website with any questions, concerns, comments, or your interpretation of the adrenal study. We'd really love to hear what you guys think out there and whether you're going to continue or not giving corticosteroids to patients with septic shock despite fluid resuscitation and vasopressors. We're looking forward to our next podcast discussion. We're going to discuss post-cardiac arrest ventilator management. We've touched on a few specific aspects of vent management in this patient population across multiple podcasts, but we've never really brought it together on how to manage the ventilator once you've gotten ROSC. So that's going to be up next here on CCPEM. For Mike Winters, once again here from the University of Maryland School of Medicine, for Peter W., John Greenwood, and Rob Rodriguez, our thanks to listening to this episode, and we will talk to you on our next podcast.